Our second lesson comes from 1 Samuel, the third chapter. Samuel is an answer to prayer, and as such, his mother has promised him in service to God. And so, when he is quite young, he has been taken to Eli, the priest, to be raised in the temple. Today we hear young Samuel's first encounter with God there. Listen for what the Spirit would say to us in these words. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've read this passage in 1 Samuel many times, and I don't think there's ever been a time when I was not struck by that line that says, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. The biblical writer could have left that line out. It does not really advance the story much at all. If we didn't hear it, we would still hear a story about Samuel being called by God but not recognizing that it was God. It's almost a throwaway line, and yet there it is, and it grabs my attention every time. As a child, I thought that it would have been great to grow up in biblical times when God was running around actually bumping into people all the time, speaking to them and giving them visions. I mean, it would have been wonderful to live when God actually appeared in burning bushes and carved commandments on stone tablets. Not like today, when God often seems silent. But our scripture for this morning sounds a lot like today. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. There it is, straight from the Bible. God could be awfully quiet back then as well. God was quiet. Visions were rare. I've sometimes wondered if God ever appeared to me in a vision, would I get the message? See, I'm one of those people who never remembers their dreams. I know I've read that I do dream, even if I don't remember them, but most of the time you could never prove it by anything that I can recall. And if dreams are something like visions and God ever showed up and appeared to me in a vision, would I remember? Of course, it's not as though God has not spoken to prophets and given visions in my lifetime. Many of us can recall a prophet who heard God's word and shared the word of the Lord with those around him. I was only about 6 years old when he gave one of his most famous speeches, spoke some of his most famous words. I think I might have heard it on the news that night, although I've seen the speech so many times since then, I can't really trust my memory on that. Yet Martin Luther King Jr. was a prophet if there ever was one. God called him and gave him a vision to share, and perhaps it's because he was a prophet that he used that phrase, "I have a dream," so often in that famous speech. That actually comes fairly far into the speech, near the end, and if you lived in the South at the time that the speech was given, you know that it indeed was nothing more than a vision, a dream. "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today." I know that there are some that don't recognize or realize that Dr. King was a prophet. Sometimes it seems even some of his own admirers. You probably know that a memorial to Dr. King opened in Washington, D.C. last year. It is located on the tidal basin between the Jefferson and Lincoln memorials. It had a scheduled dedication ceremony that had to be canceled because of the approach of Hurricane Irene. And it was scheduled for 11 a.m. Sunday, August 28th. Now, I understand the desire to schedule this ceremony on the 48th anniversary of Dr. King's "I Have a Dream" speech. But that 11 a.m. time makes me wonder whether or not the planners really appreciated that Dr. King heard his call as a church pastor. Perhaps they had forgotten the last line in the dream, which is a quote from another prophet, the prophet Isaiah. "I have a dream that one day every valley will be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." But just how was it that the prophet Martin heard God's voice, especially considering that that voice called him into something that would get him killed? How did he glimpse the vision that God wanted him to share? Was he better at remembering his dreams than I am? And if so, how did he know which dreams were the ones from God? How did he recognize God's voice when God's voice called him to something that put his life in jeopardy? Samuel doesn't recognize God's voice when God first calls him. In our reading for this morning, our story clearly depicts God repeatedly speaking to Samuel, but Samuel doesn't know what God sounds like, and so he assumes it's someone else, Eli. Now, Eli, it seems, does know what God sounds like, but even he takes quite a while to figure out what's going on. Who knows what the story would have turned out like if Eli hadn't known God? What if Eli had just gotten upset and said, "Go to sleep and quit bothering me"? Have you ever heard God speaking to you? Has God given you a vision and called you to share it with the world? Most people I've asked such questions tell me no. Many of them think, like I did as a child, that that same God who was forever speaking to people way back when in biblical times doesn't really operate that way anymore. We simply assume that God isn't speaking now. Sometimes we think of biblical times a little bit like fairy tale times. We imagine Bible stories beginning with, once upon a time, back when God was a whole lot more active than God is today. And we assume that the word of the Lord is rare, even non-existent for us. But then here comes Samuel, who lived back in those once upon a time days when God was supposedly so active, and we hear that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And he wouldn't have heard it at all had there not been someone there to explain to him how to do so. And then, of course, there's Martin Luther King Jr., who lived in a time when many people think God no longer speaks, and yet he heard the word of the Lord and he saw a vision. And I'm thinking that Dr. King and Samuel shared something in common. Both of them had mentors who instructed them on what God sounded like, on how one was attuned to divine dreams. Samuel had Eli, of course, and Dr. King had many mentors, some of whom we'll never know. There were Sunday school teachers. There were his parents, of course. There were wise elders in the church where he grew up. And they tutored him in deep practices of the faith and practices of prayer, in spending time with God, time listening for God. And of course, there's the scripture itself. Dr. King grew up steeped in scripture, grew up listening for God in scripture. He was so immersed in the Bible that I suspect that when God first called him to be a prophet, the voice sounded familiar. Who taught you to listen for God's voice? Did you recognize God's voice when God first spoke to you? Who explained to you how a vision from God should look and feel? And if God has not spoken to you, do you expect that the voice will sound familiar when God does call you? God is still speaking, you know. There's a quote that I've shared so often that I'm sure a lot of you are sick of it, but I'll share it again anyway. I can never remember who said it. It was maybe Ed White or Roy Oswald from the Alban Institute, and whoever it was, he was talking about the difficulties facing mainline congregations such as us Presbyterians. And he said that people come to us seeking an experience of God, and we give them information about God. And I think perhaps I might paraphrase it. People come to us longing to hear God's voice, and we give them information about God. Even in a culture that seems to be growing more and more secular, people still long to hear God's voice. And who should be better at helping them to hear it than us? After all, we say that in our baptisms we are joined to the risen Christ, that wherever two or three of us are gathered, there the risen Lord is present with us. We say that by the Holy Spirit, each and every one of us is gifted so that together we become the living body of Christ. Surely, If anyone can, we should be able to help those who long to hear God. And if we cannot, then perhaps we need to be helping one another. Helping us hone our own listening skill. Don, Michael, Amy, Stephanie, Phyllis, Carol, Terry, Steve, Jane. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. All praise to the one who is speaking to us still in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God.